Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, fresh off two consecutive wins in the Jared versus Joe competition. It's a competition once again. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I just was very, very busy researching David Shaw to see the next Titans head coach, see what his background outside of Stanford may be. I'm sure Joe is going to pump his tires to be head coach just like he pumped the OC from the Panthers. So got to do all of our due diligence around here.
So this is the 11th candidate.
No, I won't do that.
The 11th candidate that the Titans are linked to. Are they casting too wide a net here? They're talking to a lot of people, Jared. A lot of people.
I mean, yesterday me and TD laughed at the Chargers interviewing David Shaw as like, okay, because they interviewed Leslie Frazier and David Shaw. So, like, that's going to allow the Chargers to hire Jim Harbaugh whenever they can decide either the money or the power or whatever it is that they care about to be able to hire Jim Harbaugh. And, like, we laughed about it yesterday. I didn't think that the Titans, who are being sued for basically skimping the Rooney Rule on Ray Horton, I didn't think that they were going to turn around and interview David Shaw.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either. Did not see the David Shaw one coming.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I thought Shaw was.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I thought Shaw was a guy who was being used by some teams to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and the Titans don't need to do that. So, I don't know. I used to think David Shaw, you know, when he had it rolling at Stanford, there was always talk every year like he might go to the NFL. So at one point he was a viable NFL head coaching candidate, but I mean, obviously things went real south on him there.
I mean, do whatever you want, hire whoever you want. I think the Rooney Rule doesn't work anyways. I think it's got good intentions, but I think it's quite frankly, I think the Rooney Rule is bordering on disgraceful because I think about these coaches like Aaron Glenn or Thomas Brown or whomever it may be, and every time that they go into an interview, they have to be wondering in their head, like, do they want to interview me or are they interviewing me in order to satisfy the Rooney Rule? And that's really, really disgraceful that somebody even has to think that going into an interview. But, like, David Shaw, when he gets a call, like, hey, do you like to interview for the Titans job? Like, what's he thinking? Like, if I'm him, I'm like, are they going to give me 10 grand? I'll do it for 10 grand. I'll interview for the job for $10,000. I'm not flying to Nashville, while it's freaking snowing, I am not flying to Nashville to interview for a job that I am not going to get.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming with David Shaw whatsoever. So Bobby Slowick, that interview gets completed last night, which I know was just met with great applause by you. The Thomas Brown interview was completed yesterday. Obviously, we know that
Joe
they like
was
Brian
very
Callahan
happy about
because,
that.
Yes, Joe.
Well,
very fired up.
Thomas Brown has some good things to offer. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I never said he was my favorite. I just said here's some things about this guy that you might want to consider. Other than Jared, who just says how many points a game do the Panthers score? Ah, he sucks.
No,
he sucks.
I said this to TD yesterday.
Good research, Jared. Good research.
I look at Thomas Brown the same way I look at your quarterback, Bryce Young, Joe, which is I don't blame Bryce Young for why the Panthers were so bad. And I don't blame Thomas Brown for why the Panthers were so bad either. The owner's a disgrace. The head coach was a doofus. Like, I don't blame those guys specifically and say, okay, this is all your fault. But I can't put Bryce Young in the Pro Bowl because he didn't play well enough, whether it was his fault or not. He didn't play well enough to make the Pro Bowl. And I can't make Thomas Brown the head coach because regardless of whether or not it was all his fault or not, he didn't coach well enough in order to be a head coach in the NFL.
Right. It's a little bit of a flawed comparison, but I understand what you're saying. I want to see demonstrated success like Bobby Slowick has done. That's why I have him ahead of Thomas Brown for the record. But I think the better way to put that would be, let me ask you this. Would you dismiss Bryce Young as your quarterback, as a quarterback you think can start and play well in the NFL?
No, I would
not. Based on last year. Okay.
No, I'm not going out of my way to go get him.
Better, okay. All right. Well, that's the better comparison. I know, again.
Three first-round picks for him.
Well, There's that.
You and Tepper.
By the way, Brian Johnson is interviewing with the Titans today, Eagles offensive coordinator, which, Jared, I think the Brian Johnson part of this, you, and I'm with you, I think, want no part of.
Well, again, I mean, how much of it's his fault and how much of it is Sirianni's fault and Jeffrey Lurie's fault and Howie Roseman's fault and AJ's fault? I don't know. But let me say this. It does feel to me like the Titans have decided who they're going to hire because it's very clear. I'm guessing this Brian Johnson interview is going to be done in person since the Eagles are out.
That would be my guess.
And we're at the divisional round of the playoffs. So what's happened here, I don't think the Titans sat down and said, all right, let's interview David Shaw. I think the Titans looked at it like, okay, how fast, once we decide who we want to hire, how fast can we get through the Rooney Rule? And so it wouldn't surprise me if they said, all right, bring Brian Johnson in ASAP, and now let's interview David Shaw, because they have an idea of who it is they want to hire and they want to pounce. So, I can't sit here and say, okay, they interviewed Slowick last night, and now they put out there that they're going to interview David Shaw, so it's going to be Slowick. I can't say that because I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Titans, one way or another, whether it's Callahan or whether it's Slowick or whether it's anybody they've already talked to, McDonald, they've said, okay, we know who it is we want, and as soon as they lose, we're going to want to hire them. So let's go ahead now that we know who it is that we want to hire, and through the back channels with Ran and the agent or Burke and the agent or whatever it is, they've already kind of worked out a deal. So let's go ahead and do this and get it out of the way. And then that way, as soon as that coach loses, we can hire him. And I do think that there may be a sign that they've made up their mind.
Hold on. You got to help me with the math here, Jared. Two external minority candidates that you need to interview, correct?
Correct.
Okay. They've interviewed Thomas Brown.
That was virtual. That didn't count.
Because that was virtual.
It has to be two in-person external minority candidates.
So Shaw and Johnson would be the first two.
Correct.
Okay. You may be right about something.
Well, we'll see what happens on that front. All right, I do have to get
on
you.
And by the way, I'm not discounting the Brian Johnson thing. Like, that wouldn't be a real interview. I mean, I don't see why I'd hire Brian Johnson, especially the way Troy Aikman talked about, well, I think he's a fine young coach, but he's definitely no Shane Steichen on Monday night. But
yeah, he's a viable candidate, though.
I do think that when you start bringing in David Shaw, like when you bring in David Shaw or Leslie Frazier, I mean, you might as well be bringing in like Derek Mason at MTSU and Derek Mason on our show and say, all right, we're interviewing them for head coaching jobs, because David Shaw, I mean, when's the last time he coached? Like 3 years ago? And at the end, he wasn't even good at Stanford. He's not going to be an NFL coach. And that's the embarrassing part of the way that these teams treat the Rooney Rule. So that's what makes me think, like, yeah, okay, the Titans are making sure to get this interview done because they already know who they want to hire.
So I do have to – I want to congratulate you first off on your Patriot Way tweet yesterday where an hour and 15 minutes
later – How
about
that? Holy crap. I've been cold takes before. I mean, I've been – that's like – there's only one other time I feel like this has, like, happened where, like, I have this, like, take.
Oh, yeah, one other time.
Later,
yeah.
It's like, bang. A couple years ago when the Preds played Dallas in the playoffs, I was tweeting out about how Craig Smith sucked in that game, and then he turned around and scored the game winner in overtime. Joe went up to him and was like, yeah, did Jared Stillman piss you off on the radio the other day when he was talking about what you said? And Craig Smith was like, yeah.
Did I? I did not.
In a veiled way. Remember, he was like, yeah, people were taking that out of context, what I said in the locker room before the game. But, I mean, wow. That being said, I don't think Vrabel has any chance to get that job. I don't think Vrabel's even interested in that job. I think that is a mutual benefit. The Chargers interview Vrabel so that they show Jim Harbaugh they've got some leverage as Jim Harbaugh's camp starts pulling this. He may go back to Michigan if he can get full immunity from anything the NCAA does and still get his $100 million. So it's like, okay, well, we'll interview Mike Vrabel. So if you want to play that game, we'll play that game too. And then I think Vrabel has to at least pretend to try to get a job in order to get his money. So I think this may be a mutually beneficial David Shaw-like sham interview.
So you think he doesn't want to coach this year?
I don't. I mean, I think he would take the Chargers job because of the quarterback. Even though, Joe, They're $40 million over the cap, so I don't know what they're going to do. They might have to cut Joey Bosa. So they might have to get rid of Justin Herbert. What are they going to do?
With the cap? Jared, we all know it's a soft cap. We all know teams keep their top players. You won't acknowledge that they have to cut other players to keep their top players in addition to restructuring contracts, which means the cap is real. Shut up about the cap.
I bet they'll go out and
get
some players.
Jared, you've died on this hill.
I mean, like, they're not even going to have the money to sign their draft class. What are they going to do?
No one ever says that. The vultures have picked at your corpse on the hill. The maggots are now circling on the hill. Stop it. We've seen you die on the hill long enough. It's
My favorite thing? I actually thought about this yesterday. My favorite thing about the salary cap and its fakeness is that people are slowly but surely getting there. And the first step in this, the baby step, is the restructuring contracts. Robbie, you remember when restructuring a contract used to look like a selfless act of kindness to your team? Where it was like,
no, that was only if it was a pay cut, Jared.
No,
that's always been the case. No,
remember when Kevin Byard was like, I'll redo my contract for us to keep Harold Landry if I have to, like I did with Clowney. And I'm like, that's so kind of you, Kevin Byard, for you to sit there and say, I'll take all my money up front if it helps us sign this other guy. So now people have realized that restructuring contracts really isn't selfless. And so that's the first step in towards everybody realizing the mirage
that
is a salary
cap. That's not new at all. Like, Brady took less money. That's that. People who get contracts restructured, it's not that. And that's not new. Some people like you don't catch on to the fact that it's actually still real. Cap space like the Titans have does matter because that's space. They don't have to do weird stuff to create space. They have the space because it's real, because it matters. Thank you. Also, you're wrong about Brian Johnson. It's a virtual interview.
I'm not completely convinced that Brady took less as much as everybody thinks, because one time I brought that up and the old man looked at me. And remember, he was like lead negotiator for the Patriots. And he looked at me and said, you've never seen a Tom Brady contract, which basically was like, shut the hell up. So I don't even know what the truth behind that is.
Well, I always believed that Kraft bought him an island secretly.
Well, all that. Maybe so. Jared, I will give you this this last chance here before we depart ways on the show today to give you the chance to maybe retract your statement on Roman Josi.
No.
Or at least offer some
context
to the way that he's played.
So I saw the game Monday. I saw Roman Josi on that four-on-four, you know, the two-on-one. He's day late, dollar short again. And Mark Stone puts puck in the back of the net. And I'm like, this is too many times this year I see him on the ice in a defensive situation where I expect better from him, and the puck ends up in the back of the net. So I asked Barry Trotz about it, and Barry Trotz told me, no concerns about Roman, but, you know, he's learning a new system, and that's okay. And I was like, okay, maybe Barry just didn't want to just, you know, immediately take a squat on the show, which I get. And then I asked Hal about it yesterday, and Hal was like, I mean, I think he's playing great. I think there's an adjustment there. But even Willie and I decided to look at the stats because we're trying to match up what the stats are doing with our eyes, and the stats are incredible, and it's this, and it's this. And I'm like, I'm not saying that Roman Josi is a terrible player, because he's not. But the standard with which I'm used to Roman Josi playing on both ends of the ice. So do not give me his offensive numbers, because I'm talking about both ends of the ice specifically.
Yeah, his defensive numbers are pretty good too.
His own.
Continue.
End. Yeah. His Corsi 5-on-5 guru.com.
Yeah, the Jared eye test is way more valuable than that.
Yeah.
No. Straight up bleep. You said straight up bleep, Jared.
So again, Yossi's still a good player, but he's just not like that dominant A1 defenseman. I know, like, in his own end, he hasn't really ever been truly like a dominant shutdown defensive defenseman. But
that is correct.
I just, you know, there's too many times that puck gets up in the back of the net, he's on the ice, and I feel like I'm looking at Dante Fabbro. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's what I expect out of Fabbro, not out of you. And so I didn't get rebuked hard enough by Barry or Hal for me to change my opinion on this.
Oh, God.
You're rebuked hard enough
by me. Did you guys stay up
me.
For the whole game last night?
I stayed up for about 75% of it.
I mean, I got to tell you, that first period was one of the most boring first periods I've ever seen in my life. Second period was incredibly entertaining. And then I fell asleep in the second intermission. I couldn't make it to the third.
Well, they won, so good for them. Jared, stay safe this weekend. Enjoy the snow. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, here's my question for you guys. Will there be a Titans head coach the next time I come on the show on Friday?
I say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. And that's why they're interviewing David Shaw. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. We'll react to what Jared had to say there. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning as it continues to snow, at least in my neck of the woods outside. Joe, is it snowing where you are?
It actually isn't, so I guess we'll be next. But I just looked at the forecast, and it's like 80% chance in the next hour. So, awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah. Haven't had enough of that yet. Really a lot of fun. Got some tickets to give away to see Disturbed with special guests Falling in Reverse at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, February 17th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guests Falling in Reverse at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, February 17th. Joe, what did you make of Jared's theory that maybe the Titans have discovered who it is they want to hire as their next head coach, and that the interview of David Shaw happening today, apparently Brian Johnson being interviewed by the Titans, Aaron Glenn at some point we think is being interviewed by the Titans, according to reports this morning as well. What do you make of Jared's theory that maybe the Titans have found their coach?
Yeah, I mean the David Shaw thing would speak to that, and he may be right. Zach, our buddy, Football F Words and Other F Words Pod, said the rule, definitely the Brian Johnson has to be virtual according to the rules. I don't know exactly the specific language there, but if that's true, then he wouldn't be part of this. I do have to say, like, if that's, I mean, David Shaw is not, to me, a viable NFL head coaching candidate. He was at one point when he – I mean, 10 years ago, he had Stanford rolling. And then the last few years at Stanford went downhill. And so, I mean, I think he's a viable – in fact, is he just not coaching at all? Is that right?
I mean, I don't think that he is. I think he's just not coaching.
And this is where, you know – well, I agree. I mean, I always go back and forth on the Rooney Rule because I agree that it's like it's insulting, you know, for someone who isn't really an NFL head coaching candidate but satisfies the rule for interviewing external minority candidates. Yeah. So okay. So his last year there was 22. I guess I thought it was a year earlier than that. So he's been out for a year. Yeah, you know, and I think David Shaw as a position coach or an OC in the NFL makes sense. He had been in the NFL for a long time. I mean, he was in the NFL from 97 to until basically he went with Harbaugh to Stanford, you know, a year later. So it's been a long time, but he's been in the NFL for a long time. He was in there for more than a decade. But like, it's like, out of nowhere, you're going to interview David Shaw. It's clear with the Chargers, right? It's satisfying the Rooney Rule. It's just like, if you're David Shaw, but then the other side of the Rooney Rule is, you know, there are interviews that lead to people getting their name out there and someone blows someone away in an interview. And it's like, that interview wouldn't have happened if not for the rule, right? So there's a benefit to it in theory. And I think it has played out that way, that there's a benefit to people getting in front of people. But like a David Shaw, it seems like such a sham. So maybe Jared is right, and this means that they are trying to move quickly to satisfy that. But he's talking Slowick. I mean, Callahan is the guy who has a second interview, right?
Like if they're moving quickly, like Callahan's the first name that came to my mind, just given what we've already known about him. Now, again, you know, they've not been able to interview a Slowick or a Johnson or an Aaron Glenn in person yet because their teams are still in the playoffs. But when he talked about moving quickly, the first name that came to mind to me was Brian Callahan.
Yeah. So, I do feel like by the time we do this show next week, I'll continue to find reasons to be staying at home. You'll be at Disneyland, Disney World. We'll probably have a Tennessee Titans head coach that we know about.
We'll see what happens.
If they get their guy, that's the thing, too.
That's the thing.
Are they? If there's an acceptance of an offer, there's also
that. That's the thing. There's the other side of it, too, that that has to work out. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. We'll get into the divisional round playoff games this weekend. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will join us for the entire 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores will be on the road taking on Tennessee. Pregame begins at 1:45, tip-off at 2 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition as we head into divisional weekend here. Nick Kieser 4-2 with his lock last week. Joe Rex Road 3-3 with his lock. And I was 3-3 with no lock. So still a semi-decent weekend for all of us in the competition, which brings the overall standings to Nick Kieser and Joe Rex Road tied in first place with 71 points apiece. Kieser technically with the edge with the better overall record of 64-56. Joe Rex Road at 63-57. Kieser 7-13 on his locks. Rex Road 8-12 on his locks. So that's where the point total tie comes from. And then I am at 57-63 overall. 9-11 on my locks. Good for 66 points. So I am 5 points behind the both of you heading into divisional weekend.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
It's not over.
It's not over. I got some work to do. With that in mind, let's get things rolling here on divisional weekend. We begin with the Houston Texans on the road against the Baltimore Ravens coming up on Saturday. The Ravens, a 9.5-point favorite in this game. Nick Kieser, you are in first place, so you go first. Ravens, favored by 9.5.
Yeah, I tell you what, I feel good about what D'Amico Ryans has done with the Texans, and I don't like the line, but I'm still going to take the Texans over the Ravens this weekend. And Lamar Jackson, great quarterback, but I think the talent and the versatility of these Texans, they will get the job done this weekend.
So you think they're winning outright?
Yeah.
Wow, look at there. I like it. Joe Rexroad, Ravens, favored by 9.5 in this matchup.
This is a hard one.
It is.
For me. I think the Ravens are going to win. I think it's going to be a game. And, you know, it's like, I think it's just like, is it a tack on touchdown either way that swings it? You know, the Texans are kind of desperate. They get one late, onside kick doesn't work, or other way around. I'm going to go Texans to cover.
Okay. Well, I'm going Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to dominate in this game. It's been a great story from CJ Stroud and the Texans, and I think they'll hang in there for a little while. But I think the Ravens ultimately end up winning by a couple touchdowns. I think home field advantage, it kind of feels like the Ravens are on a mission to me, and I think they're really, really good, and they closed out the season well. And it's always interesting, like, when teams get the first round bye, how do they come out of the gate in the divisional round? Sometimes it looks really good. Sometimes it looks pretty bad. So we'll see how the Ravens respond to it, but I'll take the Ravens minus 9.5. The Packers and the 49ers coming up in the Saturday night game. 49ers also favored by 9.5. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. San Francisco by 9.5.
God, I hate this one too. God, the Packers have just got something special going on. The Niners have been sitting around. The problem is, you know, like it's hard for me to imagine the Niners after watching the Packers do what they did to the Cowboys. I mean, any chance of, like, slippage here. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Packers to cover this one, too. I'm going to go with both dogs here to cover these big spreads.
I am going to go 49ers. I think Pack will hang in there for a little while. But I think the 49ers are the best team in football. I have seen what playoff games in that place are like. And, look, I just think the 49ers, when you look at the individual matchups in this game, nearly all of them favor the 49ers. Packers are really young. So in some ways, I think that serves them well because maybe they don't know what they don't know heading into this thing. But I'll go with the 49ers to cover the 9.5 at the end of the day. Nick Kieser, San Francisco, favored by 9.5.
Yeah, I just think San Fran's too powerful. I mean, look, maybe the Packers do have something special. Maybe it's a closer game than we would anticipate. But I still like the 49ers in this one. I'm making my lock, fellas. I feel good about this one. This is going to be a fun one to watch, but I like how this line looks as opposed to what we just had with the Texans and the Ravens.
I'm ordering a cheesehead for this weekend.
Hey, come on board, man. The water's fine. Packers and 49ers will stick with that game over under. The over under is set at 50.5. I will go under slightly. I think it's going to be, I think the Packer going to struggle to keep up offensively for a little while in this game. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than people anticipate. So I'll go under 50.5. Nick Kieser, over under for Packers and 49ers set at 50.5.
Yeah, I am feeling the under as well. It's not, I don't like this one, but that's okay. I feel like it'll be a lower scoring contest than what folks maybe think it will be.
Joe Rexroad, under no over under 50.5 for the Packers and the Niners.
Yeah, give me that over. Give me that over. I see something like a, you know, like a 28-24 kind of game, something like that. You know, not over by a lot, but I'll take that over.
We move to Joe Rexroad and Little Joey Rexroad, as my father calls him sometimes, teaming with anticipation. The Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions coming up on Sunday. Detroit is favored by 6.5. Nick Kieser, who you got between the Bucs and the Lions?
Oh, you know, the mighty team that will not yield, right, Joe? But I do like Baker. Baker's been great, and I think the Bake Show will light it up. Give me the Buccaneers this weekend.
We're going with the Bucs against the Lions. Joe Rexroad, the Bucs and the Lions, do we even have to ask the way you're going in this game?
Bucs lock.
Guarantee.
I'm sorry, Little Joey Rexroad and all you Lions fans, but this is going to be a classic. You know, back in 1980, the Lions, Billy Sims, they started 4-0. He was rookie of the year. He was amazing. All they had to do was beat the freaking creamsicle Tampa Bay Bucks at home in the Silverdome in the last game of the season to win the NFC Central. And do you know what happened? I don't need to tell you what happened, do you? One of many miserable days in my life as a Lions fan. Bucks lock.
He's kind of ugly, though.
Detroit Lions lock. I'm locking down on the Lions -6.5. I said it earlier. They're going to win by 17 points. The Lions have a lot of momentum going their way. That crowd is going to be electric, and they're going to destroy Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lions locking down. If the line was -16.5, I'd still take it. So give me the Lions in this matchup.
You want to take that? We'll give it to you.
We're not going to do that. I'm so far behind in the competition.
All right.
Bucks and Lions over under 48.5. Joe Rexroad, you got the over or the under in this game?
Yeah, I'm big on the over in this one, for sure. I like the over. I think both offenses are going to have a lot of fun in this game.
I agree. I'm going over in this game as well. Nick Kieser, over under 48.5 for the Lions and the Bucks.
Feels like some backyard football, especially after watching what the Lions were able to do. I think that they'll just honestly build on that. So, yeah, give me the over.
All right, we move to Chiefs and the Bills coming up on the Sunday night game, which technically I believe is 5:30 Central Time here. Bills favored by 2.5. This is an interesting matchup. I'll start first on this one. You know, Kansas City, it felt like they found something last week, and the playoffs are just a different animal. So this one I struggled with, but I think the Bills, full disclosure, I think the Bills are getting to the Super Bowl. I think the Bills are going to go through the playoffs, and they're going to get to the Super Bowl from the AFC side this year. So I will go Bills -2.5. It's been an unconventional route for the Bills to get there this year, but I like the way that they're playing towards the end of the season. Give me the Bills at home -2.5. Nick Kieser, Buffalo and Kansas City. Buffalo favored by 2.5.
That's kind of how I'm leaning as well. I have been a big fan of their last few weeks, and they have looked like a very different team. They've also gotten a little healthier as well. So, and I like their personnel against the Chiefs this year, and this is going to be a series, like Mahomes said, this is one that will go on for years to come, and I think this time Josh Allen gets it done.
Joe Rexroad, Bills favored by 2.5 at home.
We are going to have some separation this week. Give me the Chiefs. I think they're going to go win this game. I think they did find something last week. I like the Bills, too. Look, I could see both of these teams in the Super Bowl. I'm happy to watch either of these teams playing the Ravens in an AFC title game. But I think Mahomes in his first road game in the playoffs is going to show why he's still the best quarterback in the NFL.
Lots of head-to-head matchups this week in Pigskin Pick'em. Whether it's me against Joe against Nick, me against Nick. It's going to be a fascinating weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, really, like the Packers offense kicked some butt this weekend. LaFleur, Love. I'm going to be in good shape, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, you will.
I'm riding the LaFleur love train.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that coming up next. We got Paul Kuharski coming up at the 8 o'clock hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. All that's ahead. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow night for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are on the road taking on New Mexico State with pregame beginning at 7:30. Tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app. And at 93.3ClassicHits.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You're the one who told me I could do anything if I just put my mind to it.
Well, now that you're a little bit older, I can tell you that's a crock. No matter how good you are at something, there's always about a million people better than you.
Gotcha. Can't win, don't try.
It is that time of the day, normally time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road, or the Rob Rant with myself, but we welcome in our friend and special guest, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? Joe in a panic to get out of the rant this morning. Just texts me, you know, 5 minutes ago. You have anything? You have anything?
I'm trying to be nice to you. I'm trying to be nice to you.
I'm not particularly satisfied with what I have. I tell him what it is. He said, okay, go for it.
So, just, I mean, I'm a happy person, you know? What can I tell you?
An immediate bailing out of the rant when he knows Kuharski's coming on in the 8 o'clock hour.
I just know that 80% of Kuharski's interactions with people are him ranting about something. So, you know, it's like well, a bodily function for you.
80% of no interactions for me for a week since I've got COVID. So, it's amazing that I could come up with something and you can't. Considering the fact that I've been at home with one exception, driving my kid with both of us masked to his workout yesterday on the tail end of this puppy. But, you know, I'll give it a go for the people, Joe.
No, good job playing the sympathy card up front in case it sucks.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about my rants sucking. The thing you have to worry about are my rants being about Jarrett Stillman. That's what I didn't want to do, but that's where I am here. Jared Stillman's completely incapable of being patient or allowing anything to play out. And so I believe it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, because it's always got to be right on the brink of the thing he says isn't going to happening. So he says, Romeo Crennel, nothing's happening with Romeo Crennel. Nothing's happening with Eric Mangini. Nothing's happening with any of the Belichick guys. Nothing's happening with Mike Vrabel. Patriots way's dead. I mean, first off, was he missing that Belichick seems to be the front runner in Atlanta and they're getting their ducks in a row in terms of the process. But like, it seemed like in my timeline, and granted, my timeline is COVID. I come down here, I bang something out, and then I sit on the couch watching TV. But it, in my time world, it seems like he says that, and then moments later it comes out that Vrabel's in Los Angeles talking to the Chargers and two other teams are interested. Also, the names that he listed, in what world is anybody expecting Josh McDaniels to be talked to by anybody? In what world is anybody expecting Matt Patricia to be talked to by anybody, who, by the way, I mean, Matt Patricia's not talking to anybody for a head coaching job. Josh McDaniels isn't talking to anybody. I mean, he might as well have listed Charlie Weiss. These guys are out of the loop. They've played out as head coaching candidates.
Matt Patricia just was running that Eagles defense,
which was horrific.
Well, I know.
I mean, you know, Terry Robiskie also is not going to be interviewed by anybody. It's about saying the same thing. Dick LeBeau will not be interviewed by anybody. It's a really news breaking. If Josh McDaniels resurfaces now, it'll be his on Belichick's staff. We all know that. So, I mean, you could say the Patriots way is dead if you want to. Also, this thing all of a sudden now, like, it's surfacing. People want to call Mike Vrabel a Bill Belichick disciple. Didn't we snuff that out relatively early? He didn't coach for Belichick. He never preached Belichick principles. He never did the thing all of these guys did, where they cut off the sleeves on their hoodie and played authoritative dictator to the degree where they didn't look people in the eye. As I recall, and I recall very clearly, Mike Vrabel arrived in Nashville and learned everyone's name and was very affable to people, opposite of Bill Belichick. Now, at the end, it got ugly and there were weird things going on and the like. But I don't think Mike Vrabel ever tried to be Bill Belichick, as all of these other failed Bill Belichickian guys did.
My favorite part of yesterday, PK, Jared had the tweet about the Patriot way being dead at 11:02 a.m. And I think it was like 1 o'clock where it was announced that Mike Vrabel was interviewing with the Chargers. So you're talking like 2 hours later, the Patriot way is gone. Yeah. Vrabel's not getting any interviews. And then boom, here come the Chargers.
I'll explain what I actually meant at 2 o'clock today. And it'll make perfect sense. Don't worry. I'll walk my way out of that box. Trevor Manich is going to come on, and he'll explain what I meant.
What do you think of the Vrabel Chargers connection?
I mean, look, I think Joe tweeted it. I mean, the thing there is getting past Harbaugh. You know, Harbaugh seems perfect for that job. Maybe who could dumb down their alpha-ness more for Spanos and seem less aggressive in terms of their personality? And maybe if you could take the edge off a little bit, you would pull in front of the other guy. But I would think he's a strong second candidate to Harbaugh. But Harbaugh has a way of turning people off, I think, with just how much control and how controlling he'll be in terms of stuff. And I will say, and Joe probably has experience with Harbaugh that I do not. I had experience with Harbaugh as a player, and he was terrific. But I don't know if he's a guy that like needs helmets lined up a certain way during stretch. If he's that crazy, then if I'm an owner, I'd prefer somebody less crazy.
No, I think that there's an absolute chance that his craziness turns people off in the interview process without question. Elaborate on that. Harbaugh is a player when he was with the Colts.
Harbaugh, when he was a player with the Colts, is a classic story. And I think he was a lot different of a guy when he was a player. This is my first year covering the league in 1995. And we did those weekly conference calls.
And they got to the title game that year, right? They got to the NFC or AFC title game that year, I think, right? And he had the Hail Mary at the end. If I'm remembering, but anyway.
I'm not remembering because my world was so small because I was living in on a beach in Southern California, covering the Raiders, but traveling every single weekend because the Raiders traveled to Oakland for home games, And then we're on the road. So it was 20 consecutive weeks on the road. And as young as I was, it, and the Al Davis Raider, you know, balloon is super tense. They went 8-2. They needed to win one more game the rest of the way to get in the playoffs. And of course they finished 8-8. It was unbelievably, unbelievable collapse. But we had, they played the Colts, and Harbaugh was on the conference call with us, and he had gone through a tough time before, and somebody asked him a question about the tough time, and he was like, yeah, you know, it was like a country music song. There was a song that I played in the car every time I got in the car that kind of reflected the whole thing. It was like my girlfriend left me and my dog died and one of my parents got sick. It was just like one of those quintessential, everything went wrong. I lost the starting job and everything went wrong at the same time. And I just listened to this song on a loop to wallow in my misery. And we're like, what's the song? What's the song? And he's like, I can't think of the song. And so we had this great conference call with him at the end, and he was apologizing. Guys, I'm really sorry. I can't think of this song. I know it'd be great. I know it'd be great for your stories. And we were like, that's all right. You know, he gave us a lot of texture and everything. And so like 20 minutes later, the phone rings in the press room and somebody hits the speaker button. He's like, guys, this is Jim Harbaugh. The name of the song is whatever. I wish I could remember the name of the song. It'd be a much better story. But like 20 minutes later, he went to the speakerphone at the Colts side, called the Raiders press to tell us he had thought of the name of the song, and just called it, like the phone rang blindly. You know, you usually get like an insurance call once in a while, yeah, at random on that. And he told us the name of the song. He was like a hero to the Raiders press corps that was fighting for scraps or anything interesting. And we thought he was terrific. And I think of this story all the time because I think he's a huge ass now.
That's an awesome story. He should have just tweeted it, though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. In 1995, I don't know why he didn't just blast it out.
Yeah, step ahead of the curve there. I mean, the Jim Harbaugh press conference, Joe, still a very entertaining place to be. You never know quite what he's going to say. Sometimes it's about cutting the grass and eating McDonald's. It's a lot of different things that happen at those press conferences.
Well, and you by know, the way,
the one thing about Jim Harbaugh, too, is you know, the Superman story where putting on a pair of sunglasses to look like Clark Kent and disguise yourself is absolutely ridiculous, right? It's a suspend your disbelief thing. But I don't recognize the Jim Harbaugh I knew from the Jim Harbaugh now with the glasses. He actually pulls off the Clark Kent thing with the glasses. I think if people are saying, having the Superman argument about how the Clark Kent disguise is not enough, I think Jim Harbaugh can be used as an example of a situation where it works.
He's the
that
evidence.
Guy looks completely different in glasses.
And by the way, I'm right. That team they upset the Chargers and Chiefs on the road, and it was a Hail Mary at Pittsburgh by Harbaugh that just missed, or else we would have had a Cowboys Colts Super Bowl. He was inserted into the Craig Erickson was their starter, and then he took over. He was the backup and took over the starting job. How about
so
that?
The Colts would have been blown out instead. What a terrific story it would have
been. Yes, exactly.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com coming up next. He'll join us for the entire 8 o'clock hour, getting into the Titans coaching search and all things Tennessee Titans as well. We'll take your thoughts as always, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.